Hello and welcome to Profit. I'm your host, Cindy Broad. We're on the floor of VRIC in Vancouver, and I'm joined by Ross McElroy. Ross is the president and CEO of Fission Uranium Corp, and Fission trades under the symbol FCU on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Thanks so much for joining me today, Ross.
It's a real pleasure. Thank
you. Yeah, it's been a great conference so far. I hope you found it the same way.
I think so, yeah. There's a good buzz here. So,
yeah, definitely. Lots of people, very busy floor yesterday, and we're now on day two. So thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us.
Well, it's a pleasure, yeah.
Okay, so usually on Profit, we sort of get everybody warmed up in a little bit of a behind-the-scenes insight into CEOs and their personalities. So if you're up for it, I have a few rapid-fire questions.
Sure, I'm up for it.
Okay, let's do it.
But I'm a COO, so chief
operating
officer.
President and CEO. COO.
Right.
Sorry, Ross. Okay, that's great. Thank you for correcting me. Sorry about that. Okay, let's do some rapid fire. What is your favorite phone app?
Stargazer.
Oh, I don't even know that one.
Yeah, so it's you can tell which stars you're looking at up in the sky and where the planets are. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
My kids will like that.
I'm a bit of a science geek. So.
Oh, neat. That's very cool. I will have to put that on my phone and check that out.
Right.
Are you an iPhone man or an Android man?
iPhone, but, you know, I don't know that I'm particularly loyal to one or the other. I just happen to use an iPhone and stuck with it.
All right. What is the best advice you've ever received?
The best advice I've ever received has been pursue whatever interests you and stick to that. And I've been given that advice since I was a kid, and I still follow it. So I always follow my dreams, I guess you could say.
Perfect. And it's worked out well for you.
So far, yeah. So far, so good.
Good stuff. Okay, if you weren't in the capital markets and in uranium in particular, what would you be doing?
Well, I'm a geologist. I mean, that's my training. So I would certainly find a way to, you know, keep myself engaged in, you know, in any aspect of geology. I really do enjoy this part. I like the exploration game. I like raising money, building assets. So I think I'd find some way to, you know, to come at it in a different angle if it wasn't, you know, doing exactly what I was doing right now. But I really do like the whole sector.
Well, and you're a bit of an entrepreneur as well, obviously, too. Hey, you like that aspect of it as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, what if you had one superpower, what would it be?
A superpower?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. What would my superpower be? I don't know that I... Maybe to fly.
Okay, that's a good
there.
One. Yeah,
how about
I like that?
That
one. Yeah, I'd pick that, too. Okay, and how long could you last without your phone?
I could last a long time. I really am not a phone guy.
Yep.
I use it. It's a tool.
Yeah.
But I, except other than my stargazing app, I really am not an app guy. I don't spend a lot of my free time on a phone.
Good. So you don't get those notifications that say I've been on my phone for like 24 hours?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Good stuff. You have better things to use your time with.
I think so.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, thanks for playing, Ross. That was great. Moving forward, let's just get into talking a little bit about Fission Uranium. Give us a background on the company and tell us about some of your projects.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's all in the name of the company. It is a uranium focused company. We have one project, and it's in the province of Saskatchewan. It's the PLS project in the Athabasca Basin region. This is the area where all of Canada's uranium mining comes from. It is a top jurisdiction. It's in an area that, you know, well, I mean, we made our discovery back in 2012. Prior to that, there had been virtually no exploration or activity in that area. We came up with a new discovery using a new model, a whole new way of looking for uranium and a new location, and it really lit the whole area on fire, and, you know, we're right in the center of it, but it's kind of the next area for development out there.
Can you talk about this new way that you found uranium at
all?
Yeah,
well, I think it first of all started looking, you know, the big player in this business in Saskatchewan is Cameco, and the French group as well, Orano. Typically, they've been looking over in the eastern side of the basin. This is where, you know, for almost since the, you know, the 70s up until now, currently all of the mining has happened. But what we decided to do was look for uranium in other parts of the basin. And not only that, we looked outside of the basin, and really that hadn't been done to anywhere. And it was because geologically we think that the basin was much bigger back, you know, about a billion years ago when these deposits were forming. And so we were looking in an area where the basin isn't anymore, but where it was historically. And that, you know, that concept turned out to be, you know, fruitful. So we flew with an airplane with looking for radiometrics, basically found a uranium boulder field in an area that nobody expected one to be.
Yeah.
We traced it back to the source, just sort of sleuthing, following the breadcrumbs back to what's now become the Triple R deposit. So,
wow.
You know, I think it was kind of an innovative way to to explore, and it turned out in our favor.
Oh, that's fantastic. Right. Okay, great. It sounds like an amazing deposit. Let's just talk about the uranium market in general currently.
Right.
It was a bit quiet at the end of 2019. 2020 opened with a bit of a bang, a little bit of news coming out.
Yeah.
Japan bought $1 billion worth of uranium, and U.S. Canada decided that they were going to cooperate on the strategic metals supply.
Right.
You had also mentioned something about in Canada, New Brunswick, Alberta, and Saskatchewan coming together on some sort of plan. Can you talk a little bit about what you see happening and those things that have transpired?
You're right. I mean, you know, on the negative side, the sector has been in the doldrums, you know, ever since, I guess, 2011 with the Fukushima event. And it's been a recovery, but it's a very slow recovery and slower than most people would have expected.
Right.
But we do see brighter times ahead. I think that the agreements, or at least the working relationships that the U.S. have with Canada, are very positive.
Yeah.
Canada will always be an important supplier of uranium to the U.S. The U.S. consumes, you know, close to 50 million pounds of uranium a year to run its reactors, and they produce less than a million. So, you know, they do need outside source and from friendly places. And Canada has a lot of uranium, you know, in the province of Saskatchewan,
right,
where it all comes from. So I think that's a very positive step. The agreement, I guess it's an MOU, a working MOU between the provinces of Ontario, Saskatchewan, and New Brunswick.
Okay.
And this is to develop small modular reactors. This is building smaller scale nuclear reactors that have, I guess, a different kind of market. You could put them into smaller villages, northern villages, even on a small scale as running a mine, right? Power to generate to make a mine. So it has some very positive aspects. I think we recognize that, you know, you're trying to get off of the fossil fuel treadmill.
Yes.
And nuclear is a significant energy source, you know, and so that if we have, you know, reactors that can come into different markets, different size populations, and more remote locations, I think this is a very positive step in the right direction, and, you know, and it's good for our business, obviously, because you're going to need uranium to power these new generation of reactors. So.
Right. Okay. So can you talk a little bit about how you have Fission position to take advantage of these opportunities that are coming into the market?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think we're kind of in a perfect storm situation, even though the sector's in a slow recovery mode, and it's getting better and better. And we think, you know, 2 years out, 3 years, you know, people's judgment on when it's going to be, a bull market, we'll say, in uranium, it's a little bit cloudy, but it has to be something in the near term. I would say 2 to 3 years,
sure,
4 years,
yep,
it should be good. Now, our project is, you know, could be up for production if we are able to, you know, successfully continue it along the path through feasibility and, you know, getting it on. It could be a producing asset by 2026, 27.
Okay.
By then, we think, well, there'll be a, you know, vast improvement in the overall commodity sector, and so we'll be well-positioned to take advantage of strong uranium prices, hopefully in the future. And, you know, our project being in the province of Saskatchewan, which is, you know, probably ranked number two worldwide for mining jurisdictions, it is the right location.
Yeah.
We have the best quality assets there. And as I say, I think we'll be a producing asset at the right time of the market when there is definitely a need,
yeah,
you know, increased need
important
for the future, you know, for the fuel that we have. And in the right jurisdiction. So,
you know,
this is where I think it'll all kind of work in our favor, you know, over the next.
Well, and timing is often is everything, right?
It is. So, it absolutely
is. Yeah. Okay, great. So you guys have completed a pre-feasibility study in 2019.
Correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the, apparently you have two versions of it.
We
so
do.
Can you tell us why that's significant?
Yeah, you know, earlier on we thought that the best way to develop this deposit would be by an open pit. What's unique about the Triple R deposit is it's very near surface.
Okay.
So it's shallower than any other uranium deposit out there. It's similar to some of the African deposits, but the grade is spectacular. So,
okay.
So it's unique in the Athabasca Basin for being as close to surface as it is. So we have the optionality to develop this as an open pit mine.
Okay.
and so that was what our pre-feasibility was that we put out last spring in 2019 in the spring. We also looked at this as an underground-only operation, and the reason we wanted to look at that is because it seemed apparent that we might have some significant capital savings on there, upwards of $300 million shaving off the capex to develop this mine. And so that was why we undertook the pre-feasibility to look at this as an underground-only operation. We completed that in the fall, and the economics are actually better.
Okay.
And the timeline is less to develop this as an underground operation as opposed to the open pit. So, you know, this is probably the direction that we'll go forward with for feasibility is looking at this as an underground operation.
Interesting. Well, that was worthwhile then.
It was certainly worthwhile.
Yeah.
I think, though, what is unique is that we do have optionality to develop this in, you know, the two conventional mining methods being open pit and underground and really, you never see that on any other project.
Right.
You know, they have one way to develop it, and that's it.
Yes.
So for us, I think what it does is it opens the opportunity to bring in other partners, maybe specialists in open pit mining or underground or, you know, however the future unfolds. It's really nice to have that optionality.
Excellent. Okay, great. So you are looking at completing a feasibility study in the next short period of time. Can you talk a little bit about that? Do you have capital? What's happening with that?
Yeah, so, you know, really that is our next major step to take in the pathway towards eventual production, completing a bankable feasibility. And that would, we want to get started on that early in 2020.
Okay.
So hopefully this quarter or perhaps the next. And it's about a 12-month process to go through that whole feasibility. So sometime in early 2021, we would hope to be able to have the feasibility study done. We do need to raise capital in order to, you know, really get into it. It's it comes with a price tag
there,
and you know we have money in the company, but probably not enough to aggressively pursue that. So we're looking at options right now to bring some new capital into the company and complete not only the feasibility, but there's some more drilling that I want to do in the deposit as well in order to convert about another 30% of the resource from inferred into an indicated category. It just requires more drill holes.
Okay, yeah.
And then that would build up the mining resource and have a positive impact on the economics as well. So that's really what we kind of want to do in 2020. You know, we have some big plans to do.
Perfect. Okay, good. Well, so it sounds like investors can sort of follow you along as you're hitting these milestones, which is great.
Absolutely.
You on their watch list for sure.
Yeah.
And just sort of see how these things are unfolding and checking all those boxes as you move towards your feasibility study, which is great.
Right.
And then I guess you move into permitting. You're working on permitting and community support and local stakeholder support in the area as well.
That's
as you move towards production.
It is, yeah. I mean, our step on the regulatory side, the next big milestone would be the environmental impact study.
Yep.
So that comes together. Once you have a feasibility and you complete your baseline environmental work, they come together. Your project then goes under environmental impact study review. So that we're kind of prepping that part of the on the regulatory front right now. So we'll be submitting what they call a technical project description to the CNSC, the federal oversight group there that regulate all uranium mining in Canada.
Yep.
That'll happen probably in February of this year. and you know, working with local communities and stakeholders in the area, because we want them to have a, you know, a positive outlook on development there,
sure,
and all the benefits that, you know, having a new mine in the area, production, the job spinoffs, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we do spend an awful lot of our time updating the communities and letting them aware of what the, you know, the potential benefits are for,
excellent,
for the people. And,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to briefly touch on your management team, tell us a little bit about that, and then maybe we can just close off with you talking a little bit about your share structure,
sure,
and any shareholders of note that you'd like to mention as well.
Yeah, you know, I've worked with Dev Rendhau. He's our CEO and chairman of the company. You know, we've had a very good, strong working relationship for the last 12 years or so. We, you know, through discovery and building up these assets, we've been able to raise money and actually sell them. So we've been able to monetize these as well. So,
right,
you know, we've got a pretty good track record at this. People know us in the business. You know, they recognize us as a management group that's done it before. We've won just about every award out in the mining world. So, you know, you know, I think we have a good following in there, and you know, a lot of support by some long-term shareholders. So,
perfect.
You know, this is a management group that can, I think, bring this project forward and move it to the next level.
Had some wins. That's great. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then as far as your share structure goes, what's this? That,
yeah,
look,
so
like
we have about 500 million shares outstanding right now. The stock trades at around 29 cents Canadian. So, you know, $150 million market cap.
Okay.
That's roughly where we're at,
yep,
which is historically low, but I think that that's a real function of, you know, the uranium sector itself.
Absolutely.
But as I,
yep,
said, I think it's starting to improve. And as it improves, the price of the commodity improves, we think that the, you know, the share price will continue to move upwards and, you know, get us back into where we think we are, you know,
right,
should be. So.
And shareholders of note, you have quite a large piece,
yeah,
of investment by...
That's right. So CGN Mining, so they're one of the state-owned utilities in China, so one of the two major state-owned utilities. They have a 20% equity in the company.
Okay.
They gave us $85 million back in 2016 for their share, for their equity position.
Okay.
They have two members on the board of directors. So really, and an offtake agreement. But this is a group you want to back you. They're,
for
the
sure,
ultimate end users of the uranium project.
Gotcha.
One of the, you know, other than the U.S., you know, having the Chinese, they're the big growth story in this sector. And having the utilities as an early investor in our company, supportive of developing,
yeah,
and then, you know, ultimately they can, you know, take a lot of the product as well. I think that's a pretty important relationship. So they are our number one strategic shareholder in the company with a 19.9%.
Excellent.
In
okay, well, Ross, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been very interesting to learn about fission uranium.
Right.
Looks like there's lots coming up, and you should have good news flow for investors to keep an eye on, which is fantastic. So thanks again for taking time. And again, I was joined by Ross McElroy, and he is the president and COO of Fission Uranium.
Pretty
and
good.
Fission Uranium trades on the Toronto Stock Exchange under the symbol FCU. Thanks very much again, Ross.
Thank you very much, Cindy.
We're social at Stockhouse. Don't forget to like our videos and follow us at Stockhouse on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. You'll get updates on all your favorite public companies in North America and every sector of the capital markets. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our investor community on message boards, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, be sure to visit our new and improved Stockhouse deal room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities available only on stockhouse.com.